Welcome to the teaching ministry of Daybreak Community Church. They invite you to join them for worship at 10 a.m. Sunday morning at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester. More information is at dccworcester.org. Here's Pastor Richard Frazier bringing real hope to real people from Daybreak Community Church.
Good morning, my friends. I'm Pastor Richard Frazier from Daybreak Community Church in downtown Worcester. We're glad you could join us here on 104.5 The River. Before we jump into today's special message, let us prepare our hearts for the reading of today's scripture.
Good morning, Daybreak. How's everybody doing this morning? I want to ask you a question. Have you ever started anything? I don't know, maybe a Bible study here at the church, maybe a Bible study in your home, some type of group, some type of committee, maybe even a business. Like, when you start that thing, what do you need to do, right? So Pastor Rich has been preaching in Acts chapter 2, and this is the birth of the church. Jesus came to start a church here on earth, sometimes called the kingdom of God, right? This is where God reigns and rules. They started the church, right? So what do you do? Okay. Peter preaches this wonderful sermon, right? We're in Acts chapter 2. Verse 41 says, those who accepted his message and baptized were about 3,000. 3,000 people were added to their number that day, right? They started off with 12. Now they added 3,000. That's amazing. Okay, we got 3,000 people. Now what do we do? Well, that's what Pastor Rich is going to tell us today as he explores Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. This is the fellowship of believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. That is God's word. Pastor Rich?
Thank you, Bobby, for the reading of God's word. Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. This description that Bobby just read of the early church is truly amazing. Something had happened to these otherwise ordinary people. The people who were a part of this church no longer thought of themselves, their own rights and possessions. Their whole identity was a group identity. They found their meaning and identity in each other rather than their individual selves. They realized that they were a part of something bigger than themselves. They were connected. Did you ever play Connect the Dots when you were a child? Do you remember the coloring books where there might be a few lines and then just a bunch of dots? It wouldn't look like anything until you began to connect the dots and then a picture began to appear. That's what we want to do today. We want to connect the dots so that we can get the bigger picture of what it takes to be a church. We want to get connected. We get the picture when we begin to be connected to God and to his people. And when we are all connected to each other, then a picture begins to appear, and it is the face of Christ. When we get connected with each other, we also connect the dots for the world, and they begin to see God. Dr. Edward Hallowell has written a book simply called Connect. In it, he says, we are a nation of doers. We hurry from place to place, filling our lives with all kinds of activities, sometimes overscheduling our kids and ourselves. But what really sustains us emotionally, psychologically, and physically is connectedness, the feeling that we are part of something that matters, something larger than ourselves that gives life meaning. Now, just as there is a vitamin deficiency, there is a human contact deficiency, and it weakens the body, the mind, and the spirit as well. Its ravages can be severe: depression, physical illness, early death. Or they can be mild: underachievement, fatigue, and loneliness. Just as we need vitamin C each day, we also need a dose of human contact every day with other people. This church exists to connect people to God and to each other. That is why we created our hope groups. You see, even though we may have 40 plus people here on a typical Sunday, not all of us are connected. Some are merely observers. You are a part of the worship, but you don't know many other people. You need that connection. This church is not a place to attend. It is a family to become connected to. If you want to be spiritually and emotionally healthy, you need to actually be connected to your spiritual family. That means that if we only see you for 1 hour on Sunday mornings and never any other time, you're really not as connected as you can be. It doesn't matter if you're a member or not or how long you've been attending Daybreak. Connectedness goes beyond that. As I read the second chapter of Acts, I was extremely impressed by the connectedness of the church. I noticed four things about that church. The first thing it says about them is they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, they devoted themselves to learning. They wanted to know more about God and his son, Jesus Christ. They wanted to know how God wanted them to live and what they should be doing. They wanted to know more about Christ and how he reflected the heart and character of God. It was not a chore for them to learn. They were fascinated by these new truths and couldn't seem to get enough of it. They were committed to learning. This is one of the signs of a healthy church and a healthy Christian, a commitment to learning the Word of God and growing in our knowledge of him. Growing Christians are in the Word and any other books or materials that will help them understand the Christian life more deeply. Learning is an important part of the Christian life. When you get to the place where you think you know all you need to know or want to know, then you are in trouble. When you stop learning, you stop growing. And when you stop growing, you become spiritually stagnant. David Gibson from Idaho tells this story. My friend bought a 19-foot jet boat and invited me along for her maiden voyage. We put the boat in the North Fork of the Snake River. The water was low because of a drought. My friend eased the throttle up until we were racing across the surface at 35 miles per hour. Suddenly, we hit a sandbar, and the boat stopped. We stepped out into 1 inch of water. Another boater came along, and after 3 hours of digging and pushing, we freed our boat. Our rescuer knew the river well and offered to lead us to the landing. "Follow exactly behind me," he said, you know, to avoid hidden obstacles. We fell in line, skimming the water at 35 miles per hour. Then my friend steered just a few feet to the right of the lead boat's path. In seconds, we hit a gravel bar, and I was thrown into the windshield. When he returned, the lead driver said, "I told you to follow me." But his friend thought that he should be able to do it on his own without any advice or help from anyone else. It was a hard lesson to learn, and he learned it the hard way. The author of Hebrews complained about the people to whom he was writing. "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food." Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Being committed to learning means that we are willing to listen to people who know the path and know where the obstacles are. They have been there before. It takes a little humility and a teachable spirit to be a learner. If you want to learn more about the Word of God here, I recommend that you try out our Sunday school classes or sign up for our Bible studies or hope groups throughout the year. The second thing that the early Christians did was they've devoted themselves to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. This translates into worship. They met together to worship. They did not live under the illusion that they could privatize their faith and be individual Christians with no connection. They had their times during the week of individual study and worship, but they understood that it was no substitute for being with other people who loved God and worshiped with them. They knew that God met them in a special way when they were together with other Christians. Every Sunday, we have a time of fellowship here because we gather and worship. Every Worcester Hope Center event, we are gathering in fellowship because we are connected with other Christians. I have often thought of the words Jesus spoke, "For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Jesus was saying that when we meet together for worship, he is with us in a special sense in which he is not with us when we are alone. It is important to be together. We need each other, and God's presence is with us in a powerful way when we worship with each other. That is why the Bible says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. One of the things I know about a campfire, which isn't a lot, but the one thing I do know about a campfire is that you have to put the sticks or logs close together if the fire is going to keep going. Even if every piece of wood is blazing, if you separate them from each other, they will lose their flame and quickly go out. You see, you may be on fire for Christ, but if you are trying to be on fire by yourself, you will burn out. You need others close to you to keep the fire going, and you need to stay close to them. You need to be committed to the fellowship and being together in worship. Amen. Amen. The third thing that the early Christians did was they devoted themselves to breaking bread. Here is the importance of Christian friendship. This is so important because it means that they were together for more than just spiritual things. They enjoyed each other's company. They were devoted to the things that deepened their friendship with each other. It says in the book of Acts, "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts." Acts chapter 2, verse 46. These Christians were the kind of people that when everyone else walks out of your life, they walk into it. That is what we want to be. That is why when you enter this place, you feel a charge. Because not only is the Holy Spirit present, but there is genuine love and deep care among us. But unfortunately, some churches never get beyond being friends with each other. They are such good friends that it feels like everyone else is an outsider and it is difficult to break in. At this church, good or bad, we could have the opposite problem. It is possibly so busy ministering and reaching out to others that we do not take the time to minister and reach out to each other. This is another reason why our Sunday school classes and hope groups are so important. We are not only learning about spiritual things together, but we are listening to each other, encouraging each other, supporting each other, praying for each other, loving each other. It is in these groups where we become open and honest with each other so that we don't become phonies. We want to be genuine and we want to be authentic. We want to be honest about our struggles. If not, people are going to feel like they have to wear a mask and that they have problems that other people don't have. This is why it's important to have people give their testimonies. You can see someone in church and think that they have it all together and never struggled with the things you struggle with. But when they tell their story, you realize that they have been where you were. And you learn how they overcome their past and their problems to be a fully devoted follower of Christ. The final thing that the early Christians did was they devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. They prayed when they were alone. They prayed with their families. They prayed together in prayer meetings. It was a source of their power, and very powerful things happened among them because they prayed. Without this, all the other things they did would mean nothing. You can study, worship, and develop close relationships with other Christians. But if you do not pray, the rest will fall apart. You need a consistent prayer life. This is where you develop your spiritual life. It is where you come into contact with the Spirit of God. As I read through the book of Acts, I was impressed about how many times it talked about God's people praying. I believe in the power of prayer. The Bible says, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." James chapter 5, verse 16. We have seen many, many things happen in this church as a result of prayer. People have been helped and healed. Problems have been solved. People have come to Christ and grown spiritually. Look at the ministries that have exploded here. All of this is a result of people who have prayed. We have a core group of committed people who pray, but we need more prayer power. Prayer is the force that moves the hand of God and thereby moves the world. Amen. Amen. It is in your private prayer time that you focus on someone beside yourself. It is getting in touch with a power that is beyond yourself. It is where you empty yourself of yourself and are filled with the Spirit of God. Without that time of prayer, you are trying to run on empty. Is it any wonder that you are struggling when you have never prayed about the situation you are facing and never taken the time to soak in the presence of God? I will tell you that the more we become devoted to the things to which the early church was committed, there will be a new dimension to our lives and to our church. As we become more devoted to learning, worshiping together, our relationships and prayer, we and the church will become more what God is calling us to be. When we stop living only for ourselves and start living for God and others, we will discover what it takes to be God's people. Brian Bill relates this story. A few years ago at the Seattle Special Olympics, 9 contestants, all physically or mentally challenged, assembled at the starting line for the 100-yard dash. At the gun, the contestants all started out, not exactly in a dash, but with a relish to run the race to the finish and win. All that is except one boy who stumbled on the track, tripped, rolled over a couple times, and began to cry. The others who were running ahead of the boy heard him crying, so they slowed down and looked back at him. Then they all turned around and went back, every one of them. One girl with Down syndrome bent down and kissed him and said, "This will make it better." Then all 9 linked arms and walked together to the finish line. Everyone in the stadium stood and cheered for over 10 minutes. People who were there still talk about what happened today. Why? Because deep down, we know this one thing. What matters in this life is more than winning for ourselves. What truly matters is helping others win. But here's the hard truth. You are not able to help others win if you are not connected. With God, teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer are the key ingredients to becoming connected like the early church. The question I have is that what you want? Do you desire for our church to be connected like the early church? I sure hope so, because I can stand before you today as your spiritual leader and tell you that is exactly what God wants for us here at Daybreak Community Church. I pray that you are ready, because it is coming. Look around you. Do you see it? We are a body that is alive and on fire, and we are doing something about it beyond these 4 walls. We don't just sit around here on our hands. We put our faith into action. As it says in the book of James, faith and works go hand in hand. If you want more opportunities to be taught, come to Sunday school, which begins in September. Or sign up to host a small group Bible study. If you want more fellowship, be active with the Hope Center. If you want to experience more prayer and support, talk with me. If you want to break bread together, I pray that you join us today at noon at Richard and Bonnie's house, as we will not only break bread together, but we will also fellowship together. All these that I've mentioned are ways to become more connected. If you are here today and you do not feel connected and others do not see you as connected, I say, why not? Why not? That's my challenge for you this morning, to become more connected. Let us reflect upon his message, and God bless you. I personally want to say thank you for listening to today's message. I pray that the message challenged you and blessed you. Daybreak Community Church is a non-denominational church located at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester, and Sunday morning services are at 10 a.m. in person and on 104.5 The River. It is such a blessing for me to share God's truth with you each and every week. If you'd like to donate to our ministry, you can now do that online at dccworcester.org. That's dccworcester.org. Daybreak Community Church, dccworcester.org. All gifts are completely tax exempt and most definitely appreciated. Again, thank you all for taking the time to listen today, and thank you for supporting our ministry. God bless you.